Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from Coast of the Carolinas by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time! Introducing the Fistful of Cash Podcast.
What is going on, guys? It is the newest edition of the Tuesday Touchback. It's the Turkey Day edition. I got some stuffing. I got some turkey. I got some gravy dripping down my lips, running all into my chesticle soup. What's going on, man?
I just threw up my mouth listening to that. But nothing really. Monday night game just went to half, 23-23. They put the all-star lineup of officials together, you know, primetime Monday night game. They know this is an extremely likely, extremely possible Super Bowl matchup. You know, you still have the Saints and the Patriots and the Steelers and, you know, a bunch of good teams in the mix, but these two teams have shown nothing short of being Super Bowl contenders. And right now they're putting on an absolute show, 23-23 at half. I expect nothing less out of the second half. The Rams came out just slinging the ball everywhere. Really haven't given Gurley any touches, which is weird, but Goff's playing well minus his fumble. So exciting game, that's for sure.
All right, well, I want to cover something good. I mean, I'm pumped for this game. I mean, I'm with you. It's going to be fantastic. An absolute shootout. These are the best ones, especially, you know, on a Monday night. I do want to cover one good thing before I say something bad, though. But as always, this show is brought to you by mybookie.ag. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code GIVEMECASH. Now, here's the good thing. We talked about this before. MyBookie's doing something special for Thanksgiving Day with the Bears-Lions game. They are giving you, is it safe to say a guarantee to win money? Or a guarantee not to lose money? That's probably a better way to put it.
It's a free bet.
It's a free bet.
As simple as that.
Yeah, so go to mybookie.ag, set up an account if you haven't already done so. I'd prefer if you did the promo code Give Me Cash to do so. Get that 50% match on your initial deposit. And then bet the spread on the Bears game, the Bears-Lions game, Thanksgiving Day. If you're right, they'll pay you. If you're wrong, they'll give you your money back. And that's for the spread on the Bears-Lions game. Now, that's up to a $250 bet. So get on there, throw some bills at it, and then if you're right, excellent. And if you're wrong, you get your money back. I mean, it's a free bet. You really don't have anything to lose. My bookie's going out of their way to give people something to be thankful for on Thanksgiving, and we're thankful that they're offering that to our listeners. So get on there, use our promo code GiveMeCash, take advantage of that $250 free play, or at least opportunity to get your money back if you lose. And if you don't use our promo code, you're still eligible to make the bet. We would just prefer if you use the promo code GiveMeCash. So if you already have an account set up using that, we thank you for that. If you don't and you did it with something else, that's great too. All that to say, we just want people to get on there, get the free play, and try to make some money. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to. Like you said, go on there, take – I'm not saying this is a pick, but I'm saying you take the Bears minus three. $250 on it, that's what, $250 to win, what, $235? So it'd yeah. be, you know, $230 or $225. You get $225 if you win. If you lose, you get your $250 back. So like it's a free play. It's like somebody saying, here, bet me on this game. If you win, I'll give you the money. If not, you know, good try.
Coincidentally enough, the line actually is at minus three. And that's going to go into I'm using this game and this ad plug to transition us into something real quick. And I'm only going to say one thing about it, and then we'll move away from it. We got shit pumped this weekend. And partially. No,
I don't want to make it sound worse than it was.
Okay. I'm being dramatic.
We had one play ruin the entire weekend, and that's on me. That was the this is like the Texas A&M all over again. One play ruined the entire weekend. So if you stayed away from the Vikings play, you were good. You made some money. If you played four units on the Vikings like I recommended, then you lost on the weekend. We did well on NFL. For those of our listeners who aren't Patreon supporters, we had on the Patreon page for NFL, we had Zeke anytime touchdown, three units to win two. He obviously scored on a 23-yard scamper. And we also took the New York Football Giants to cover 2.5. They were covering with ease. That got a little scary at the end there when Jameis Winston came in. But they ended up winning by 3, so we ended up covering that. Right now, we are 3-2 on the NFL with a current play on the Chiefs plus 3.5. So we could go 4-2 on the NFL. We broke even on college. I don't want to say shit pumped. I don't.
Okay. All right. Let me phrase
that. Shit pumped, I would think, would be went like, 2-10 and we lost 15 units. It was one play that ruined the entire weekend. That's on me. I'm willing to offer. I didn't cover the clear this with you. But if you can send me a picture that you played the Vikings play and it's a four unit play, now don't send me that you bet $40 and your unit's $10 because I'm not going to believe that. If you send me a picture that you played a four unit play on the Vikings, I will provide you with a pick for every single NFL game this weekend. Obviously, you got to get that to me by Wednesday so I can get you these Thanksgiving Day games. But a free play for every NFL game this weekend, Patreon supporter or not, if you played four units on the Vikings, that's on me. That's my bad. I fell in love with Kirk Cousins and Stephon Diggs, who had a great game, and Adam Thielen, but they got away from the run game and ran the ball 12 times, twice after Dalvin Cook fumbled. And it just, they marched down the field. It's just they got to like the 40 or the 35 every time. And then took a bad penalty and then had to punt. It was just up and down the field, inopportune red zone turnovers. You look at the box score, I would have thought the Vikings won that game by 10. But as we say all the time, box scores do not tell the entire story of the game. And the Bears jumped on prime opportunities and ended up winning the game. Good on them. They proved me wrong. Trubisky looked good. The run game still looked bad. Khalil Mack's an animal. He's a freak of nature. He disrupts every single play. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, I mean, I appreciate you putting some of that on you, but a little bit of that was on me too. I had a horrible UFC weekend. These foreign country cards are my kryptonite, and I thought I had something there, and there's something about getting punched in the face, and there's something else about getting punched in the eyeball, like when, like, oh, you punched me in my eye. But no, your brow line is designed that way to, you know, protect your actual eyeball. But when your actual eye gets hit, man, that shuts shit down. It will lock it up. And Neil Magny took a jab directly to the eyeball about 35 seconds into that fight. And it set the tone for the entire conflict and, you know, really screwed the pooch on that one. I had a horrible UFC weekend and we missed the Vikings play. I guess the shit pump comment comes just more from my ego than the actual results of the weekend. It is what it is. Hey, real quick though, this week, are you working up until Thanksgiving?
Yes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, so you work, you're not a professional handicapper?
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
I'm a hardworking blue collar yinzer.
Okay, I just want to make sure because I am too. You know, we've had to start saying this, and it's funny now, but we have to remind people that just because we have a platform that we use and we do research and we do bet and we do like to talk about what we're betting and we like to suggest people play the same thing, you don't have to. I don't carry a gun for my job anymore, and I don't have it one pointed at you. So you know what? You don't have to play it if you don't like to. So, you know, bet responsibly here, children. That being said, also got a little bit of heat this weekend. Before we get into our picks, because this is going to be a longer episode, I got some heat, man. I got some heat for some stuff you said this weekend.
I, on the other hand, had no heat this weekend. Well, the great winter storm of 2018 up here in you know, western Pennsylvania, we lost power on Thursday, and I have some friends and my actual in-laws who have yet to receive their power back. So you can get all the heat because I got none.
Well, I'll tell you what, the fire that rained down upon me by you talking shit about Patrick Mahomes was real, and it was fiery and it was hot. Apparently, you're not allowed to call people disgusting, or in my instance, say that somebody's a terrible person because they put ketchup on their steak. So... In the 2018 platform and landscape, you are not allowed to say that somebody's a terrible person for how they like their steak. All condiments matter. All
right, I stand by what I said, and I do not revoke my statement.
Oh man, yeah, I'm with you. If I'll put it like this, maybe Patrick Mahomes might not be a terrible person, but if you put ketchup on your steak, you're not the type of person I need in my life, and we probably can't be friends. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, your judgment's skewed. Yeah. It's as simple as that.
The people that put ketchup on their steak are like the same people that don't like dogs and, you know, refuse to laugh at YouTube videos of babies laughing and stuff like that. You're just a different type of person. I'm not saying that you're necessarily the worst kind of person or a terrible person. You're just not a person I need in my life. That's all. So I'll leave it at that. All right. Real quick. As you know, and I'm going to say this because we didn't get a chance to talk about it. I was going to talk about it with you later, but I'll talk about it with you now. My shoe game is pretty weak, and I know that you hate the fact that I have
the same pair of Air Force Ones, white with the blue trim, since 2003.
Okay, so look, I'm in the market to buy some new shoes. All right, I'm in the market because right now my shoe game consists of Sperry's, Air Force Ones, which are still pretty crispy, and Tim's. Okay, now. I live in coastal Carolina. There's only but a couple days of the year where it makes sense to wear Tim's, but I'm at this weird point where I've got to wear jeans, but I don't know what to do with my life as far as being a grown man on what shoes I need to wear with jeans that aren't Timberland boots. And because I can't wear boat shoes and I can't wear Air Force Ones. So what do I wear? What should I do here? I don't want to say you're like a fashion savvy dude, but you know more than I do. So what do I do here?
I mean, I haven't worn a pair of jeans in 4 or 5 years. I wear chinos.
Oh my gosh. What is that?
Okay. So chinos are they're khaki pants, but they're kind of like not sweatpant material, but they're more of like a stretchy. It's hard to explain. They're not your typical khaki pants. They just look like khaki denims. You know what I'm talking about?
So are they? They're comfortable? More of,
yes, they're very soft and they're like a stretchy material. You can get chinos that cut off. They have like the elastic, around the ankles. Ooh, like sweatpants, like sweatpants. Yeah. You can get those kind of chinos, or you can get boot cut chinos, which I wear if I'm doing, you know, if I'm going out to a nice dinner or something like that. That's not necessarily a formal setting. I'll wear my chinos in a pair. I have like dress boots. I'll wear dress boots with my chinos.
But, okay. All right. Well, I'm writing this down. All right. So here's the revelation that I came across with this shoe thing, is that, you know, we've always, I think everybody at some point in time has come up with this idea of making fun of dads for wearing dad shoes and having dad footwear. Well, I'm online and I'm looking at shoes and I don't know. I mean, I hopped in a time machine. I went to the mall today as well because I had some downtime and I walked around. I was like, you know, let me see what I can do as far as step my shoe game up here a little bit, because I got to find something. And, shoes are so unbelievably expensive that the only shoes that I could muster the courage to even, I guess, you know, negotiate with myself the price of would be what we would deem dad shoes. So I think it's not so much dad shoes being from a certain look, but just being as a dad, all that you're willing to spend money on. Like the Chef Curry's seem to be about the only thing I'm willing to spend my money on. The idea of spending like $150 on a pair of shoes anymore is like preposterous to me. How does anybody do this? What do you spend? How can you spend that kind of money on your shoes? Like, what are you doing here? Help me.
No, I'm with you. The only shoes I'm spending over $100 on is once a year when I get a new pair of basketball shoes for a new session. That's about it. Like you said, I had the Chef Curry's, the Northern Lights editions. I bought those 3 years ago. Last year I bought the new Soldiers, the LeBrons that came out. And this year I'm not sure what I'm going to get. I missed out on the Kyrie cereals. I wish I would have bought those. Those were sick, but they sold out in about 13 seconds. And then I would have paid seven times the price for them. But, I don't know, man. I buy my shoes at Kohl's.
Okay. See, that's the insight I'm looking for. Look, man, I still have t-shirts from high school, bro. You know this. I don't spend money on myself at all. Like it's just not something that I do. So I don't know, you know, I depend on my wife to dress me. You know, I don't know where to even look for stuff. That's why I said I went to the mall to look for shoes. Who does that still, right? That can't be a thing still.
Go to Kohl's. Okay. And get you a nice pair of Sonomas or Apartment Nines. There you go.
I don't know what any of those are, but it sounds exactly. super bootleg. But okay,
no, the Sonoma boat shoes. That's all I have. I don't even have Sperry's anymore. I have Sonoma boat shoes because they're $34.99, and they give you the same exact look.
Oh, now we're talking. See that $34.99? Right? That's my price point.
That's okay. What I'm saying.
All right. Well, this is good. See, this is a fact-finding mission, and hopefully you're helping somebody else out there too that's looking down at their shoes right now going, my shoe game's busted up. I got to go get me, what are the Apartment Nines?
Yeah.
And some Sonomas. Yeah, okay.
Sonomas. Right.
All right. I like it. I'm going to do it, and I'll take pictures of them and send it to you.
There you go.
Flex the calves in the picture. All right. Let's get into some sports. All right. College football. Yeah, let's do college football first. The reigning national champions, UCF. What do you like?
All right, so I like the Knights at -13.5. I think they're going to drop a 50-burger in this game. They're playing South Florida, who has absolutely vanished into the Bermuda Triangle over the past 30 days. This is where we're going to properly use the term shit-pumping. They got shit-pumped by Tulane. 41-15. They got shit pumped by Houston, lost by 20 points. They lost to Cincy 2 weeks ago, and then they got beat by Temple last week. These are all teams that UCF beat in a handed fashion. These were no contests. UCF's, you know, undefeated season still on the line. They're going for back-to-back undefeated seasons. I know we bashed on Nebraska early, but this is the point where I want to give Scott Frost credit. 3 years ago, UCF was 1-12, and now they're going for back-to-back undefeated seasons. I know he's not there anymore, but this is the program that he built. It's amazing to me that you can go from a one-win team to 3 years later, you can be going for your second undefeated season in a row. I like the Knights minus 13.5 here. I think Mackenzie Milton has his way with the South Florida defense. I'd say 14 is probably the max I would take it at. 14.5, I'd buy it down to 14. But I wouldn't, if the line moves, before you guys listen to this, if the line moves up to 15 or 15.5, I would probably avoid this game. But if you can get it at 14 or 13.5, I would take the Knights to cover that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Every play that I've sort of debated on when it comes to UCF is, you know, as far as do I think they'll cover or, you know, over under or anything like that. Whenever I'm deciding on something that's not in their favor, they tend to prove me wrong. So I like this play. I know that they get a lot of airtime on our show, but as far as betting goes, I mean, they're sort of a sports gambling wet dream because they put up a ton of points and, you know, it's just a matter of is whoever they're playing against going to put up, you know, a decent enough amount to cover whatever slack they may have that night, because you can almost count on them throwing up mid 30s to low 50s almost every game. So you just look at the over under and say, well, can, you know, whoever score another 20 points? Yeah, probably. All right, cool. Let's go. So I'm with you. I mean, there's really a hard play. It's going to be hard to find a play that I'm not on board with for involving UCF. So what else do you like college football wise this weekend?
Another game in college that I like is Penn State minus 13.5. I think that Maryland's performance last week, which we bet against them last week, I get that, yes. I think Maryland's performance last week affected this line quite a bit. I think it's creating good value on Penn State here. Penn State's still battling, trying to get, you know, with a little bit of help, they might be able to somehow squeeze into like a New Year's Day bowl. I don't think it'll happen, but winning won't hurt their chances of it. A little bit of a letdown season for them, but they still have something to prove. Trace McSorley is an absolute dog. I don't care if they were 1-10. Trace McSorley is going to go out and play his little heart out. As long as Penn State can control Maryland's running game, I don't think the 13.5 will be a problem for them.
How do you know what's wrong with Chase's heart, man? I feel like he's probably got a big heart.
No, well, I'm little heart. By little heart, I mean he's an undersized quarterback.
That's true. Trace McSorley, his heart is smaller. Okay, right. I get it.
Trace McSorley is a poor man's Baker Mayfield. Say, you know what? I'm with you. I think McSorley does have a big heart because I know Baker's got a big heart, and they both have that I play with a chip on my shoulder kind of mentality. Yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah, McSorley's got a big heart, and okay. I like him to cover 13.5 against Maryland.
I'm with you here. Okay, so here's my thing with this now, because we always talk about we like to put the analytics side into this as well. You know, we're 0-2 when it comes to betting against Maryland. I'm just saying. So right. Are we sure? Are we sure about this? Okay, third time's a charm. Okay, I just want to make sure we're right on the same page there. But you had mentioned Baker, which once leads me into our next play that we like for college, and that's Oklahoma. What are you thinking for this game?
I like the human cheat code in Kyler Murray. WVU's playoff hopes were shattered this past week. And they can thank Dana Holgorsen, their head coach, for that. That was Andy Reid / Mike Tomlin-esque clock management there at the end of that game.
It was horrible.
The fact that Will Greer, you know, scrambled for 4 yards and you just let the clock tick with 2 timeouts, I was super confused about. That made absolutely no sense to me. I thought maybe ESPN had the timeouts wrong on the TV screen. Maybe that West Virginia didn't have any timeouts and they were showing they had two. I had no idea what was going on there. But Oklahoma's just putting up silly points. Kyler Murray, I don't know if you saw his run this past week. I mean, he hit the hole and it was 70 yards of defenders. It was like a Lamborghini racing minivans. There was just nobody can catch him, man. And West Virginia's defense just keeps letting up more and more points. I mean, it's going to be a shootout. It's Kyler Murray versus Will Greer. It's Hollywood Brown for Oklahoma. It's David Sills for West Virginia. I think Oklahoma has more on the line. They have a chance at making the playoffs if something were to fall their way. If they can beat West Virginia, win the Big 12, and say Ohio State beats Michigan this week, then that's going to bump West Virginia up because Georgia's going to have to play Bama, more than likely going to lose to Bama. So that takes Oklahoma from the sixth spot, jumps them over Georgia at the five spot, and jumps them over Michigan if Michigan loses this week to put them in the four spot. So Oklahoma has a legit chance to make the playoffs. So I don't see them slipping here against West Virginia. The line actually opened at Oklahoma minus two. The early bettors have come in and moved it to a pick'em. So I'm going to get on it before what I think the sharps come in and move it back up to probably a minus two, minus two and a half. So I'm taking Oklahoma in a pick'em.
Okay, let me ask you this. It's been a while since we've done a glossary term. Whenever you say, because we mentioned this term frequently, and I think this is, to go back and look, I think it's probably the fourth or fifth week in a row we've said this term before. For those that are uninitiated, what is a sharp?
So sharps are, they are, let me think of the term. They're considered respected bettors. These are guys that have a given track record, guys that books know and take their bets into consideration when making lines. So if a sharp, if you have three sharps come into Westgate and lay big money on Oklahoma at a pick 'em, that is going to shift the line more than three average Joes coming in and putting, their life savings on Oklahoma. These are guys that are proven successful bettors. These are guys that break down analytics for a job, and this is how they make a living, is betting off of sports. So sharps are just, they are the top-notch bettors, and they're the guys that you'll see the lines move 4 or 5 points over the final 24 hours of a game. That's because you've got multiple sharps coming in and betting the same thing. So then books adjust accordingly.
Okay. Well, so you're not a sharp then, is what you're saying?
No, I'm a donkey.
I just want to make sure that you're describing that, and I'm going, that's not me. I just want to make sure that that's not you. That's definitely not me. All right, man. So as far as college plays go, am I missing anything here? I'm going over our notes. I'm trying to make sure I don't pass something up.
Yeah, I've got one more. This one's going to fly under the radar a lot. I would say more than likely, I'd say less than 5% of you guys listening have watched either one of these teams. But I got Coastal Carolina, -1.5 against Southern Alabama. Coastal Carolina, they're 5-6. They're playing for bowl eligibility. Southern Alabama's sitting at 2-9. They're looking to play spoiler. I'm gonna take the better team with something on the line here versus a team that has nothing to do but ruin somebody else's day. I like Coastal Carolina to cover the 1.5 in this game.
All right, let me ask you this. I have to here. How on earth did we come across this game?
It's research. I read, I read a lot about spreads and opening lines. I've seen a couple reports about sharps that I pay attention to, who are following this Coastal Carolina game. And the best time, in my opinion, to bet college football games are the opening lines, which come out Sunday afternoon. And so Sunday afternoon, I get on and I start reading through articles. I start, you know, I read reports. And this was a game that was covered by multiple guys. I want to say, I'm trying to think of how to word this. Yeah, I know.
Well, then don't. If you have to think this hard about it, then don't say it.
So, yeah.
No big deal. All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen both of these teams play. I watched Coastal Carolina when they played App State. They hung in there.
Right. You're right. You're right.
They hung in there a little bit. App State ended up winning the game by, I think, like 16 points. But Coastal's, you know, they played Troy. They beat UMass. So they've had some tough games, but it's a game that this isn't my analytics. This is going off, like I said, respected bettors. There's a couple guys that I like to follow, and I like their reasoning behind it, so I'm going to ride with it. I'm going to say Coastal Carolina -1.5.
Listen, there's a million people. Million plus people all looking at the same lines that we look at, and everybody's thinking the same thing. You know, there's a million different apps out there that you can get. Plus, when you do your due diligence before you get on, you know, a podcast or a radio show or anything like that's available for anybody and their brother to hear, you obviously want to have your ducks in a row. And in doing that, you inevitably pick up pieces of information that form and help facilitate your opinion. So, you know, saying that you found somebody else that had a good point, and that's why you like the game, that's essentially what we're doing here. We're providing information, and if you like it, play it. Somebody provided information, you like it, we're playing it, I'm on board with it. I personally don't even know where the hell Coastal Carolina University is at, but they're playing against South Alabama. And you say it's good, and you listen to, you know what's up, I'm cool with it. All right, pro football. It's something that we definitely all know a little bit more about. Let's start close to home here. I got on the notes here that you like the Steelers this weekend.
Yeah, I do. I like the Steelers against Denver -3. Big Ben, they just keep finding a way to get it done, even when he has one of the worst halves of his entire career. They find a way. They battle back. The defense stepped up. That had a lot to do with the Jaguars having zero confidence in Blake Bortles to throw the ball. There was a play on that. So it was the final drive. It was actually the final play by the Jaguars. It was a third down. It was like a 3rd and 11. They handed it off to Leonard Fournette. And before Fournette was even tackled, before, you know, he knew that they didn't get the first down, Blake Bortles was jogging off the field. They have no confidence in him. So the Steelers could zero in on the run. And that's what I think they're going to have to do against Denver. Philip Lindsay got it done against the Chargers, man. The Tasmanian Devil, he is real. Undrafted rookie. I have Philip Lindsay on my fantasy team. He's a beast. So I think if the Steelers can, you know, keep him in check, I don't see Case Keenum beating them. This Steelers offense, even with James Conner dropping passes, which every time he dropped a pass this past week, I do live in Pittsburgh, so I was watching it with other Pittsburgh fans. Every time he dropped a pass in the final 5 minutes, I think he had 3 drops. I made everybody in the room aware that Le'Veon Bell would have caught that pass. Yeah, I do like the Steelers. I like Juju. Juju makes big plays in big time situations like he did this week. Obviously, AB had his 84-yard touchdown. They just too many weapons. And I don't think Denver has enough. I know it's in Denver. It's going to be a tough game. They're going on the road. It's at high elevation. But I'll take Big Ben at high elevation over Case Keenum on his best day.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. And that I'm with you. That first half of that Steelers-Jags game was just absolutely – that was just poor football all around. It's tough to watch. You had mentioned it before. And I haven't seen it anywhere, but I feel like it's a point that bears repeating with the self-immolation that's happening with the Raiders. Why not send Derek Carr to Jacksonville? I mean, what do you have to lose?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think so. I mean, Tom Coughlin's he's in charge in Jacksonville now, and I know Tom Coughlin likes building through the draft, which they have done. I mean, look at the team that they've drafted. You know, they pulled in Jalen Ramsey. They had Dante Fowler, who they ended up getting rid of. Obviously, Leonard Fournette, DJ Chark, their rookie wide receiver. You know, they're building through the draft. I like what they're doing. I don't know if Coughlin's willing to give up draft picks for Derek Carr. I think he wants to build this team the right way, which you can't blame him. He wants to put, you know, the Tom Coughlin thumbprint on this team. So I can understand why they're not, but I wouldn't fault them if they did make a move for Derek Carr, because Derek Carr is a proven good quarterback. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's had, you know, impressive years. He had a really nasty injury, and now he's part of the laughing stock. But on a win streak.
On a win streak. Shut up.
So.
Oh, man. That was brutal. I can't believe I missed that. Full discretion, I violated no parlay November and played a parlay, and it fell apart on that Chargers game last night. All right. I bring up the Derek Carr to the Jags thing because that's another play that we like this weekend. Jags versus Bills coming in under 37.5. That seems really low. What's the play here? Under 37.5?
We talked about that earlier, and I have since decided against that, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because a report came out that Josh Allen is full practice this week. I think if Josh Allen plays, that obviously gives the Bills a better chance to score some points. I know what Jalen Ramsey did to Big Ben, and I know AJ Boye is back, but under 37.5, that is really low. I initially was like, you know what? I just watched the Jags shut the Steelers down for 3.5 quarters, and Buffalo's offense sucks, and Buffalo's defense is good, and the Jaguars' offense sucks. But that's where I was at with the Oakland and Arizona game, and we bet the under and the over hit. I've actually decided against that. So if you're cool with that, I would like to skip that play.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just going off our old notes here then. That's my bad.
And move to the Jaguars, two teams in the Jaguars division that are playing each other, and that's the Texans playing the Titans. So right now I'm seeing the Texans at -6. Mariota is a huge question mark here. So I think it's worth the play. I think it's worth getting in on the Texans -6 because you're either going to have a banged up Mariota with a bad throwing elbow and wrist, or you're going to have Blaine Gabbert. So either way, I like the Texans to cover 6 points against either one of those quarterbacks this week. I think if Mariota is officially announced out and Gabbert's a go, I think this line might jump up closer to like 9, 9.5-ish. So this is one that I would get in on early. And just take your chances. Like I said, it's either a banged up Mariota who can, you know, is going to struggle to throw the ball and they don't have a run game, or a healthy Blaine Gabbert who's going to struggle to throw the ball and they don't really have a run game. So I like the Texans -6 in that game. Yeah. So I'd like to get in on that one early. Texans -6. The last NFL game that I like for this weekend, as far as the podcast goes, the over 48 Vikings and Packers. Both these defenses have given up big plays all year. They've proven themselves to be questionable. Aaron Rodgers will be nothing short of spectacular, just like every other week. So I like over 48 in this game. Somebody's going to score in the 30s. And I expect both teams to score at least 20. So I'll take the over 48 in Packers Vikings.
Yeah, I think it's at the point where they have to. This is a make or break game, I think, for both teams. You know, despite the fact that Minnesota has a better record, I think the Packers, this is absolute must win game for them. What do you think?
Oh, I know one person that's a must-win for, and that's Mike McCarthy. His seat is blazing hot. I mean, it's burning the hair off his ass right now. He's in a lot of trouble. That's for sure. not letting Rodgers go for it on that fourth and two. I'm sorry, man. I get that he missed that third down pass against the Seahawks, but you have the best, as a Tom Brady fan, I'm going to say it. In my opinion, Aaron Rodgers, you know, overall team stats and his injury puts him below Tom Brady in the greatest of all time conversation. But when healthy and on the field, you have the best quarterback of all time in his prime, and you don't let him go for it on fourth and two. He's an idiot. That was just a dumb, bad coaching decision by Mike McCarthy. I know the numbers say he had timeouts. They still had the two-minute warning, but you hadn't stopped Chris Carson all night, and you didn't stop him on the final drive. So Mike McCarthy's on the hot seat. He needs this win more than anybody.
I think it's the other thing, too, is that you have to trust your $100 million man, too. You know, I mean, the guy's the face of your franchise. He's proven himself time and time again. I understand as a coach, you know, I'm using air quotes here, you run the show to an extent. But you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers on your team that can create on the feet as well as he can throw the ball, and it's fourth and two, and you're in a situation like that. You have, if the man looks over at you and says, I got this, you let him go. I mean, right. you allow him to make that call. I hate to use the term that people are do things, but he's earned that right to say, I got this. And regardless of the, you know, it wasn't the first quarter and like regardless of time, situation, score, whatever, if it's like that and you're losing the game and it's damn fourth and 15 and Aaron Rodgers looks at you and goes, I got this. I feel like the guys earned the right to say, you know what? All right, man, if you want to try it, let's try it. Well, I mean, what are you going to lose at that point? Because like you said, they hadn't stopped him all night. They hadn't stopped Carson all night. So what do you have to lose? I mean, he's earned the right, but all that to say, I'm with you. This is a must-win game for Green Bay, and I'm with you. Somebody's scoring in the 30s. So
yeah, and the pat on top of what you said about trusting your million-dollar man, there's two other coaches that did that this weekend, and it worked out for one, and it didn't work out for the other. Riverboat Ron, he gambled and let Cam Newton go for the two-point conversion to win that game. That had a lot to do with Graham Gano missing an extra point and a field goal in that game already. And as we know, kickers are head cases. But he let Cam go for two to win that game. That didn't pan out. And Mike Tomlin, ran the option with Big Ben. Big, slow Ben. They ran the option. He let Ben run the QB sneak that he wanted to run last year, the big controversy with Todd Haley, and it worked out for them. Like you said, when you have a first ballot Hall of Famer in his prime, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been a first ballot Hall of Famer for 4 years now, and the guy is still just absolutely phenomenal. On a fourth and two like that, you let him make the play. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That's all I got for NFL this weekend.
All right. Well, you're talking about Hall of Famers, so let's talk about guys that have actually just completely reshaped the landscape of the sport themselves. We've got this showdown of all showdowns. Now, granted, it's kind of like the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. It's about 10 years too late. But we got Mickelson and Tiger going head-to-head this week. I mean, it should be a bigger deal than they're making it out to be. Like, I feel like it had a bunch of traction at first when it was announced, but it's sort of fallen off. Are you in agreement with that, or am I just missing the storylines here? What's going on with this?
No, I'm with you that it's fallen off. It has a lot to do with the time they scheduled it. This was miserable timing. You scheduled it on the final week of college football. You scheduled it in, you know, week 12 Thanksgiving Day games of NFL, and you scheduled it in the very start, you know, the Maui Invitational, all the invitational college basketball games. This was a really bad idea to do this over Thanksgiving weekend. They could have found a much better time, like, you know, the downtime after championship season, as far as like the conference championships go in college. You could have done it after that. I don't get this, but yes, that I think that has caused a lot of it. And I also think the fact that Phil Mickelson played like dog shit the entire 2018 season has killed it as well. Tiger, 5 top 10 finishes in his final 8 events. including a win at the Tour Championship to end the year. Phil had won top 10 since May, and that includes three missed cuts in that time frame. These guys are going in opposite directions. Tiger's climbing back up into being a relevant golfer, and Phil is just riding his name right now and not performing. It's been some downtime since the last event. There's no doubt about that. So we'll see how these guys react, but I like Tiger at the -230 in this. The only thing is, it's not stroke play. So if it was stroke play, I'd say Tiger absolutely murders him, but Tiger can go out and shoot an eagle and Phil, shoot a triple bogey, and Tiger's only getting one hole for it. It's match play. So I still like Tiger in the match play. I still think he'll probably, Tiger probably wins 12. I'll say Tiger. I don't want to say 12. That's a lot. I'll say Tiger wins 11 holes.
Okay. You just bring it down by one, but okay. Yeah.
They're going to have some holes. So 11 is probably still high. Tiger -230. That's my pick. I don't know how many holes he's going to win. I just think Tiger wins the match play.
Yeah, he should. I mean, he's just playing better golf. So
right.
That's what it's going to boil down to more than anything else. There's that. And then there's also UFC this weekend. Okay. So lessons learned here. This is a lesson that I learn repeatedly every time there is one of these cards. But here we are with another one. We've got a foreign country card. And, it's one thing to have something that's in England or anything like that. It's something else entirely to have these other, fringe country. Not that China's a fringe country, but you know what I'm saying. These cards out there where they just send people over, and hopefully it's filled with more local fighters than it is anything else. We do have a rematch, though, that's worth talking about. That's the main event. You got Curtis Blaydes and Francis Ngannou. I know you have some strong opinions about this fight. You know I do. I want to give you a chance to get yours out before I go ahead and unleash the Kraken here when it comes to this fight.
I think it's as simple as, Curtis Blaydes said it the other day. He said Francis Ngannou is in a dark, dark place, and I think Ngannou's in his own head. We talked about it after his fight with Stipe. He's looked like dog shit. He hasn't performed. I think Curtis Blaydes comes out with a wrestle heavy attack, and I think he wins this fight.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think Curtis Blaydes is going to come out, and don't get me wrong, I think maybe he will give the illusion of standing for about a minute and a half, just to let Ngannou think, oh, maybe this guy thinks he actually is going to stand with me. Because I will say this about Francis Ngannou, despite the fact that he has knockout power, I don't think he's very fight IQ smart. I don't think that he is a what you would call like a cerebral fighter. I don't think he's very smart as far as fight intelligence goes. Now, I could be very, very wrong. I'm a guy with a podcast, but I've watched thousands of fights and hundreds and thousands of hours of fighting, and I just don't see things that happen that are executed by Francis Ngannou that screams to me high fight IQ. I think he's in his head. I think Stipe exposed him, and he realized the same thing that Yair Rodriguez realized after the Frankie Edgar fight, is that there's levels to this shit, and he ain't on that level yet. And then after a super lackluster performance against Derek Lewis, and what, I'm still going to say is one of the most boring fights of all time. I just don't think that a guy that's as hungry and willing and ready to engage and make a name for himself like Curtis Blaydes is, I think this is a nightmare matchup for Francis Ngannou. And unless he isn't bullshit and he comes out and he is absolutely reinvigorated and he is the predator of old, I just don't see how any sort of sports psychologist or anything like that, a camp change, I don't see how any of that's going to help him in such a quick amount of time. It's going to have to be it's a gradual approach. But this, he's MMA young. He hasn't been fighting for very long. he's got a lot to learn. And I think Curtis Blades is going to, he's about to take him to the school of hard knocks, to use a dated reference. I really think Blades is going to rough him up. But as far as mutual opponents go, for these guys, Alistair Overeem's coming in the co-main event, and he's coming in against a guy that you and I are having a hard time finding anything on. And like I said, I've watched a trillion fights, and I know what organization he fought in, but I couldn't tell you anything about this guy. You got former K1 champion Alistair Overeem taking on Sergey Pavlovich. And Overeem is actually coming in here, Soup, as the underdog. So I feel like the play, and correct me if I'm wrong here, has to be taking Overeem just off value alone. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like you said, neither one of us know who this guy is. So I'm gonna go with Reem as the underdog, just based off of knowing him and knowing his pedigree and knowing what he's capable of. I'm going with Reem.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said, I don't even have a real big detailed breakdown about it because I don't know who this guy is. I will say this though, there are a couple underdogs on the fight that are on the card itself that I like. Former World Series of Fighting strawweight champ Jessica Aguilar is fighting, and she's fighting Weili Zhang. And Jessica Aguilar is coming in at a +350. Now, Aguilar has had a tough time since she's come into the UFC. She has had a really hard time returning to form that had her world champion and what people largely considered for a while there one of the greatest female fighters ever. She has not looked like that since she's come over to the UFC. However, pedigree of opponent and gym, would indicate that she probably has a pretty decent chance here, much more decent of a chance than the +350 they're showing her at. So I like some value there with her. And another fighter that I see that has a lot of value attached to them is Rashad Coulter. Rashad Coulter is a heavyweight. He's on a 3-fight losing streak. However, he's fighting a guy that, as far as, again, pedigree of opponent in Hugh Yaozong, I think Coulter's faced the stiffer competition. He's been a game opponent for everybody that he's fought. And I think that, a play on him, there's some return on investment available there. I might do a couple more cards or a couple more fights on this card on the Patreon. I'm not entirely sure yet. It's a lot of local fighters, and I don't know who these people are. I'm not even confident in putting my money on a lot of these people. So I may just avoid these or just give, like we did last week, I just gave thoughts on each fighter and each fight, and then sort of left it with the preface of, bet at your own discretion. So that's about all I got sports betting wise, Soup. We did have an interview. So this, like I said, or like we had mentioned before, because we're not going to put out an episode on Friday, we're going to go ahead and, this is the hard cut, whatever, for this episode. We are, we have an interview. I interviewed Jack Studebaker with Saving Grace CBD Oil, who's a sponsor of the show now. And if you go to SavingGraceOil.com and use the promo code CASH20, they're actually going to give you 20% off of your entire order now. And I guess you would say, in the spirit of Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday and Black Friday and everything else, they're giving 20% off your total order. I actually interviewed Jack, had an opportunity to talk with him for a while today and sort of talk about CBD and hemp products and, the marijuana trade and everything else that goes on with that, just to sort of get some information out there, maybe answer some questions that you guys had that I know I had personally, and maybe you guys had too, get some clarity on that. So that will be the second half of this episode going forward after we sign off here. And we want to encourage you guys to go there, check that out, and get the promo codes that he's talking about in that episode. So that way you can, save some money if you decide, and we hope that you do, get some stuff through Saving Grace Oil. All right, Soup, I'm ready for a beer in bed, man. You got anything else you want to add today?
Nah, that's it, guys. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Just what it's all about. Be thankful for your family and friends. Have a good time. We're going to switch it up with the sign off. We're going to do something a little holiday related.
What?
Hey, as always, guys, turkey thighs, sweet potato pies, and thank yous.
You're so stupid. So dumb.
Guys, as alluded to before, you know, we want to do a special guest and leading into the holiday season and just something that, you know, this gentleman and I have been in contact with each other for quite a while now, getting to know one another. And it's through that relationship that we were able to bring you this deal that we talked about last episode. Got on the line now and want to introduce you guys to formally Jack Studebaker with Saving Grace Oil. Jack, how we doing, man?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm excited to you know, share our story with your listeners and see who we can help.
All right. Well, let's do that. Let's do the, like the superhero origin story. Why hemp products? Why CBD oil? Why now? Give me the origin story. How did this come about?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I've always been a huge believer in the power of this amazing plant, you know, over the past 30 plus years. And, what kind of did it for me is my dad had back surgery a few years back and, I was looking for a CBD product for him. And, you know, like everybody else, I get on the internet and I search and try to find something. And what frustrated me is my knowledge of cannabis and what was available online just didn't line up. So a lot of what I found was, you know, imported hemp paste, you know, from overseas, ridiculous pricing, for very little actual CBD content. I had lunch with a buddy of mine who's my business partner as well, Drew Madison, and told him of my frustration by trying to find a product for my dad. And you know, he's like, "Well, I tell you what, man, let's do it ourselves." You know, Drew's background is, you know, he's been in the marijuana space for you know, 20 plus years. He's got a marijuana extraction lab here in Colorado called Denver Dabco, and you know, a buddy of his, Chris, is a third generation farmer. You know, we had another buddy that was a master extractor in biofuel. And, you know, we just had all these people that could, you know, lend their expertise. And we built what is, you know, called today Saving Grace Oil. And, you know, our goal all along was to provide, you know, high quality CBD products at fair pricing. And, you know, we really want to work with families with, you know, with kids with, you know, epilepsy and you know, autism and, you know, veterans and, you know, the, senior, you know, groups as well. So, you know, we kind of focus on, the higher strengths of CBD. So, you know, our strength run, this is in the bottle size, but we run from 330 milligrams all the way up to 5,280. Which of course is the elevation of Denver 5280. So that's why we formulated it around that.
Okay.
So that's really what sparked it all.
I got you. So, I mean, I guess my question then becomes, you know, to the uninitiated, you know, I mean, like I said on previous episodes, and I think that the space is growing, and people are more educated now than they've ever been before. But for those that may be just slightly behind the, you know, the curve here, what is, you know, when you say CBD, what is that? What are people getting at or what are they receiving with that? How does the body respond?
Yeah, that's a great question. CBD is a cannabinoid found in cannabis. It's actually cannabidiol is that particular cannabinoid. And there's 110 different cannabinoids present in cannabis. And, you know, you've got cannabis is the genus, and then you've got, you know, marijuana on one side and hemp on the other. Now, the only difference between those two is literally the THC content. So if the THC content is below 0.3%, it's considered hemp. Anything over that is considered marijuana. So in every mammal, we have what's called an endocannabinoid system. And this is a physiological system that's in our brains, in our guts, in our immune system. And there's these cannabinoid receptors, CB1, CB2 receptors that respond to cannabinoids. Now, we get cannabinoids from things like, you know, dark chocolate, black pepper, you know, kale, those phytocannabinoids. And our bodies also make its own form of cannabinoids called anandamide. And, I mean, there's cannabinoids in breast milk. I mean, we were designed for cannabinoids. Now, when we have a cannabinoid deficiency, we have disease and ailments that come up. So when we give the body what it needs, and hemp is an excellent source, or cannabis is an excellent source for cannabinoids, when the body gets what it needs, it has a way of kind of self-regulating. They talk about, giving that balance to the body. So all these, certain, disease and ailments and conditions, have a way of kind of fixing themselves, but, just giving the body what it needs to perform the best. So I don't like using the term, CBD oil. I like using the term, CBD-rich hemp extract, because there's more cannabinoids in it than just CBD. Right. So, for someone just starting off, I always tell them to research the endocannabinoid system. And that's how you can understand why it works on so many different things. We have people with, anxiety, stress, inflammation, seizures. PTSD. The list goes on and on and on how effective this medicine is in treating those types of conditions.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, on our last little episode that we did where we first introduced the listeners to your company and what you were about, the spectrum that a product like this can cover is very extensive. What's a good measurement that somebody could have to say, well, maybe this is for me or maybe this isn't for me? What's that sort of target area where somebody seems like, I'm tired of chewing up 3 aspirin a day or whatever the case may be? Who is that target person that you think this really reaches out to and can affect in a positive manner the most?
There's so many different conditions that people deal with on a daily basis. And it amazes me hearing how many people are taking, pharmaceutical products for things like, anxiety or depression or sleep. All those things, kind of blend together. If you're not getting the sleep your body needs, it creates anxiety and it creates stress. So, by using, a full spectrum whole plant product like Saving Grace, your sleep pattern is going to get better. It's going to get more regulated. Therefore, you have less, anxiety and things along those lines. A lot of people come to me and say, listen, man, I'm tired of taking these pills all the time. I just want to get something that's natural. And that's when they kind of gravitate towards, obviously it's in the media. It's all over the place. It's on social media. People are very curious now. Whereas, a year ago, we would have to explain what CBD is because no one's ever heard of it, for the most part. Now people are starting to hear in the media and now they're starting to ask questions. So when they see us at different events, they go, oh yeah, CBD, man, I've been wanting to try that. The thing about it, Dale, is everybody responds differently to cannabinoid based medicines like ours. So, when someone calls and says, hey man, I'm dealing with, hey, I've been a bodybuilder for years and now I've got all this inflammation and, torn rotator cuffs and this and that. And, do you think it'll be effective? And honestly, the answer is, I don't know. It's something that you have to try and see how your body responds to it. So, this works on so many different conditions and ailments and diseases that it's truly something you have to try and see if it's effective for you and for your body and for what you're looking for. But, for me personally, I would much rather have a plant-based medicine that I'm taking than something that's made in a lab. And I think a lot of people are like that. And the great thing about Saving Grace is we do offer a money back guarantee. If you didn't get the response you were really looking for, we'll refund your money. And we've over the past 3 years, I think we've had to refund maybe 5 or 6 people. That's it, And what I love about it is someone who calls up says, hey, I've got arthritis. They take it for arthritis. They call up. They go, hey man, it kicked my arthritis' ass, but in the process, you know, I've been suffering from, you know, PTSD since college. And this is the woman that we were dealing with. And she's like, I've been suffering from PTSD since college, and it completely reversed my PTSD, you know. And like you mentioned before, this works on pets as well. It's amazing on dogs and what it does for dogs. And so, I mean, it does so many different things, and it does it naturally. You know, in our product, it's full spectrum, you know, hemp extract, and we'll talk about what that means here in a second. And we use MCT coconut oil as the carrier oil, and that's it.
Okay.
There's no other flavorings sweeteners or anything like that. So our product tastes like it's supposed to, tastes like hemp, but
yes, it does.
Very mild tasting, yeah, but it's mild.
Yeah. All right. So I'm glad you brought it. You mentioned it, and I want to segue into that for sure, because this was one of the things that when you and I first started talking, you know, what I brought to your attention, and you were kind enough to explain to me then, and I'm going to try to dig it out of you now, is that, you know, I've tried CBD and hemp products before, but everything sort of fell short of what my expectations were. And there was something, you know, a term that you use with me that has stuck with me, and I've, in my recent dealings with people since receiving your product and talking about it, have used. And it's something you said to me, the entourage effect. So could you dive a little bit into that as to what that is and why that makes a difference compared to some of these other products?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what you're referring to is a lot of these, there's a lot of companies out there that use what's called CBD isolate. And that's where they're using, they isolate the CBD molecule, that particular compound, and that one cannabinoid, and they'll brag about it too. It's 99.6% pure CBD. But the body doesn't know how to metabolize that when it's in those large doses. There's also a big bell curve, meaning your body can only process so much of that before the rest of it's just wasted. So that entourage effect is essentially saying all those different cannabinoids that are found in cannabis, you know, THC, CBD, CBG, CBN, CBC. I mean, there's a bunch of different cannabinoids, and also the terpene profile as well comes into play. So it's the synergistic properties of all those cannabinoids and all those terpenes working synergistically together that gives us that entourage effect. So, you know, not one of those cannabinoids by itself is going to be as beneficial as all those cannabinoids working, like I said, synergistically together to give you the best performance. So as we mentioned before about our endocannabinoid system and those receptors in our bodies know how to metabolize a full spectrum whole plant product. What our bodies struggle with is when you're using an isolate-based CBD product that is just pure CBD, the body doesn't know how to metabolize that as well. So that's where you start getting drug interactions and some side effects as well. So it's really important. Whether you buy it from us, you buy it from somebody else, make sure you're looking for a product that's whole plant, full spectrum. And on that note, obviously, you know, THC is kind of, you know, what people consider the bad cannabinoid, because, you know, it has some psychoactive properties to it. But what they don't know is that THC is such an important cannabinoid because it acts as a catalyst for CBD. So when that THC, and even in trace amounts, and we're not talking enough THC to get you high, but it's enough THC to help activate those other cannabinoids. So the body knows exactly what to do with it. So unless you can't absolutely, because of your job or whatever the situation is, you can't have any THC in your system, I always urge everyone to make sure you look for a full-spectrum product. Now, those products that are THC-free, and I see this all the time, they'll say full-spectrum with zero THC. Well, you can't be both. So in that situation, it's what's called a broad-spectrum product. So it still has, you know, some of those other cannabinoids, but the process to remove THC also removes a lot of the other minor cannabinoids. So it's not as beneficial. And I think you can attest to that because the other products you were using were isolate-based products that were zero THC. And I think you've noticed a difference between the two.
No, absolutely. It has been you know, like I told you before and even said on air, it's almost been like a placebo style effect where I thought that it made it seem like the other stuff that I had, you know, had tried out, maybe I was just trying to will the results into being there, because, you know, since using your product, things have, I mean, it literally was like putting a better light bulb in a dark room. I mean, it's really been, you know, something of note for sure. That, you know, so people on the fence, right, that may be thinking, well, this all sounds great, but, you know, what are some delivery methods? Like, you know, you sent me the drops. I use that. I mean, is that the only option? I mean, we have the pain rub. There's other, you know, how can somebody actually consume this product? Is there a vaping option? What options are available?
Yeah, I mean, as far as in the marketplace, you've got, you know, the tinctures, like our product, it's an oil that you would, you know, put underneath your tongue, hold it in your mouth for, you know, 15 seconds or whatever, and then, you know, swallow it down. And it's not like you got a mouthful of oil. Most of it dissipates in your mouth. The mouth is very vascular, so there's a lot of uptake into the bloodstream that way. So that's really a beneficial way. I mean, for me personally, I find that's one of the best ways to do it. Vaping is got a, you know, ton of bioavailability because it goes into your lungs and straight into your bloodstream. But when you come to vaping products, and I was just talking to a gal about this morning, if you want to look out for those products that have, VG or PG in them, and that those are usually used as thinning agents, propylene glycol, vegetable glycol. And that's usually what gives you that vaping, that big plume of smoke that comes out. Those are things that I personally try to avoid in the products that I vape. I love getting these products that are, you know, just, you know, the extract, the cannabis extract, and they may use some terpenes as a thinning agent. You know, the taste of it's a lot better, and I feel like it's a lot better for you as far as, you know, vaping. You've got, you know, gel caps as well, kind of like the fish oil gel caps. Those are good. It's a little longer process because it's got to, you know, work your digestive system to take effect. But for people who don't want to, you know, taste the product, or are used to taking pills, that's a good alternative for them. You've got edibles, you know, gummy bears and, you know, things along those lines. And then, also, topicals, you know, like we were explaining, like the pain salve that we make. So there's several different ways that you can do it. You know, the pain salves are going to be more of a localized approach to, you know, let's say you've got a sore shoulder or sore knee or something like that. You can rub it right on there, and it's going to take effect at that point, at that localized area. But the oils are going to be more of a systemic approach, and especially when we're dealing with inflammation. You know, when people have pain, it comes from inflammation. So you take away the inflammation, you take away the pain. And CBD is an incredible anti-inflammatory. I mean, I've got some pictures that would blow your mind that people have shared with us. And so, again, a more systemic approach, all-body approach is using an ingestible versus a topical. But the topicals are super effective, you know. So it's for those people who, you know, can't risk failing a UA or a drug stream, those topicals work great because they don't get into the bloodstream, you know. There's right. Also, what else do they have? The patches. And, you know, there's a transdermal gel that actually does work into the bloodstream. Those are not as common, but, you know, there's that delivery method as well.
Okay. Have you seen any sort of, I guess you would say, marked difference in effectiveness based on age or, you know, symptoms? Like, say, like my mother suffers from fibromyalgia. You know, mm-hmm. Is it something that has a stronger effect in, you know, children as it does adults, or is it seem to be pretty universal across the board? How does that?
Yeah, Yeah, I was going to say it's universal across the board. I mean, we have, you know, kids as young as 2.5, 3 years old that use our product. And then we've got, you know, customers as you know, in their 90s and you know the effects of it are very similar. Now, you know, here's the thing though. It doesn't matter what age you are or your weight or anything like that. Everybody responds differently to cannabinoid-based medicine. So I've got a young girl that is, I think she's 10 or 11, and, you know, she takes almost 200 milligrams for her seizures, you know, and that's the effective dose for her. And then I've got, you know, guys that are, you know, 6'6", you know, almost 300 pounds that take, you know, 50 milligrams. So the dose doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, what size you are or your age. But I'm telling you, this works young, old, in between. It can be effective medicine.
Okay.
Oh, in regards to fibromyalgia, we have a lot of customers that address their fibromyalgia with our product. And, you know, it helps, you know, to a degree. You know, it's not going to – that's the only thing I always talk to people about. You have to have realistic expectations of what a cannabinoid-based medicine can do for you, because it's not a painkiller, right?
Right.
Like a opioid or something like that, where it's going to kill the pain. This is going to take the pain that, let's say, it's at an 8 and take it down to a 3. You know, it makes it more manageable. And you'd be amazed on people will call up like, well, you know, I still feel the pain, but – I can go about my day. It doesn't affect my day to day. And with fibromyalgia, I find that for our customers, you know, they use, you know, our advanced formula during the day, our 88, and then in the evening, if they live in a state that allows it, they usually take a gummy bear with some THC in it, and it just helps, you know, quiet those nerves down a little bit more. Nerve pain is very difficult to address on any level with a pharmaceutical or with a cannabinoid based medicine. But, you know, we're trying a few different things, you know, with different types of cannabinoids and trying to kind of pinpoint that, but it could be effective as long as people have a realistic expectation.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to keep beating the same drum here, and the effects that I've experienced since, you know, switching over have been fantastic. And you know, it comes from you and I have talked about this before we even decided to do anything together. You know, my brother and I, we are trying to carve out a space that's based off of integrity and honesty, and didn't want to push a product on somebody that, or even advertise or talk about a product with somebody that we weren't willing to back 100% ourselves, which, you know, I know resonated with you, which is why before we even decided to do anything, you were like, give me the address. Let me send it to you. Let's try it first and let's go from there, which was a stand up thing to do. That being said, you know, we are in this position now where we're both in agreement with how awesome this product is. And, you know, you were kind and generous enough. Last week we got a promo code using Cash15 to take 15% off of the order. But you and I have spoken before, and, you know, there's something perhaps even a little bit more that you're interested in. You want to, you know, dive into that?
Yeah, you know, for this big, you know, shopping weekend, you know, the Cyber Monday, Black Friday, all that, you know, we thought we'd bump it up to 20%. And, you know, I realize a lot of these sales would be, you know, 50, 60% off, but, you know, we don't work with large margins in our company anyway. So we're going to offer 20% off. So Cash 20 will give you 20% off your order, and you know, we ship USPS right to your door. So it's all priority mail. So it comes with a tracking number, and you know, you'll receive emails along the way when it's been shipped and when it's been delivered. So we try to do that. So yeah, Cash 20, give you 20% off.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that, man. I know our listeners are going to as well. Here's the one thing. I'm going to throw you a curveball here because we didn't talk about this before, but, you know, our overnight numbers, because we usually upload overnight and then we come in the morning, you know, we do big numbers overnight. And I always wondered why that was. So then I got into the analytics of our podcast, and it turns out that Fistful of Cash, thankfully, and you know, a blessing that it is, we're active and have been downloaded in 30-plus countries, but received downloads in on average about 24 different countries each episode. Do you ship internationally, or is this just going to be something for the U.S. guys and girls?
Well, we will ship internationally, but you kind of run into that risk of you know, getting through customs and things like that. And then the price tends to go up quite a bit. So for the people that are not in the U.S., they can reach out to me via email, and on our website, savinggraceoil.com, my contact information is on there. So if anybody's outside the U.S. and are interested in purchasing our product, you know, we'll find a way to make it work. But we are starting to reach into some other countries as we speak, and it's a challenge, but it's one I'm willing to take a look at if someone's wanting to get some saving grace. So, yeah, we can work with that. I would say it's just kind of a case by case.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm thankful for this, you know, this relationship that we've started here, and I know that customers and listeners of ours that are, you know, willing to take the step to become customers of yours and try your product are going to be impressed with it 100%. And I appreciate, you know, the fact that that y'all do offer the money back guarantee, and, you know, I can attest to the effectiveness and, you know, from the customer service experience up and through now, everything's been fantastic. So for people that are on the fence about something like this, that are sort of him and hawed around wondering whether or not this was the next step, or if they wanted to do it, or, you know, you got something for grandma or the dog or something like that, that you're willing to, you want to try to take a step in the right direction, I would absolutely push people in the direction of saving grace. So Jack, I appreciate your time, man. You've been super generous. I know that we've been working on getting this set up, so I appreciate it a bunch.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity, and if anybody has questions at all, you know, I'm accessible, and that's one thing that amazes people when they reach out to us, that they get a response back right away. You know, we work with people individually and help, you know, guide them down this path, because, you know, let's face it, it's the unknown for a lot of people, and, you know, we're here to support you on that journey, but you'll find it's very effective medicine. So I encourage everyone to give it a try.
All right. Well, listen, like I said, Jack, I appreciate it, man, and thanks for taking the time. And Cash20 is going to be that code, and we're going to keep that up through Cyber Monday, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep, I sure will.
All right. Awesome. Outstanding. Well, hey, Jack, I appreciate it, man, and you know, we'll be in touch for sure.
Dale, thanks so much for your time, and look forward to hearing from your listeners.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line
prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.